The Andy Finn Show is back, and we're talking about politics this segment. In particular, let's start with the election in Iraq. So today is the day of the election in Iraq, December 15th. And we've been waiting for this day a long time. And by all accounts, it went extremely well. There was less violence than there was in the referendum in October or the initial elections back in January. Minimal violence, if you can say that. And things went relatively smoothly. Turnout was quite high. And for the first time, turnout in the Sunni areas was quite high. So in general, a home run as near as we can tell. All of that is to the good, and I'm relieved that things went so well. What I think is interesting is how this gets played out on the right and the left, because I've been listening to the commentators on the right say for a number of days, weeks, months, really, that, oh, the Democrats don't want us to succeed in Iraq. And the liberals want the U.S. to lose this war and all that. That's nonsense. You know, I'm a Democrat at heart. I'm not a registered Democrat, but I would vote Democrat more than I'd vote Republican. And I'm left to center. I don't call myself a liberal. I'm a moderate, but plenty of people would call me a liberal. But that is, people who are on the far right would say I'm a liberal. But I want us to succeed in Iraq. I've just been skeptical all the way along because we've gone in and assumed that we can change this culture. And you cannot simply change a culture. The second thing is, the verdict is out on Iraq, and it's going to be out for a minimum of 10 years and probably 20 years. And what will happen is, after there's a failure, like we have a bunch of attacks, the people on the left say, see, Iraq's a failure. Iraq's a disaster. It's a quagmire. And when there's a success, like the elections in January, or the elections now, the people on the right say, see, we told you this was the right thing to do. No, we aren't going to know if Bush's foray into Iraq was a smart thing for at least 10 years, maybe 20. Nothing can stop people from trying to take credit for it or assign blame for it, one or the other, in the meantime. But just be aware that none of that makes much sense yet. So the elections were a success, but we still don't know that this won't degenerate into a civil war. Because really, when you roll the dice and go into Iraq, as George W. Bush did, the risk all along has been what his father was warned, which is, if you, first of all, if you break it, you own it. That's the Pottery Barn rule that Colin Powell taught us. But also, if you... once you break it, you're responsible for all the problems. And so we're responsible for what goes on in Iraq. And Bush's father was warned that it could turn into a civil war, that Sunnis, Shiites, and Kurds might end up not being able to get along and strike a government together that would satisfy everyone. And just because we have successful elections, that's the first step. They still have to make this all work, to say nothing of getting a hold of the insurgency and driving out the small percentage of the fighters that are terrorists or killing them. We still got to make this work. And the issue is going to be whether or not Sunnis feel they get enough participation, because the Sunnis are only 20% of the country. And there was a poll done recently that suggested that they think that they're about 50% of the country. Well, if they don't even know they're only 20%, they don't know that they are destined to be a minority voice in a democratic Iraqi government. So they're never going to be back in control. They're always going to be the minority voice at 20%. And so the question is, will they settle for that, or will they cause trouble? So the verdict is still out on Iraq for a number of reasons, and the election going smoothly today is a great first step, and let's hope there's a few more. Let's hope the insurgency starts dying down now and that people in Iraq take ownership, because you have to get the hearts and minds before you can stop an insurgency. So we'll have to see what what happens, but it's very possible that we'll see less insurgent action now that the elections are open, and let's just hope so. That means we can draw down troops quicker, all of that. Let me move on to George W. Bush's speeches, because he recently gave a series of four speeches about Iraq. And, of course, the only reason he went public, this is the cynic in me, the only reason he went public is because his ratings dipped so low. And so he had to get out there. And so they issued a 35-page document, which is supposed to be the roadmap for victory in Iraq. What's interesting, it took 2 years for it to come out. We've been in Iraq for 2 years. I was hoping they had a roadmap before, but they never showed it to us. So now they have a roadmap. And Bush is using the word victory now a lot. And, you know, they keep making the case on the right that he's the president who's the least driven by polls of anybody in history. But in fact, it's come out. I mean, I've known for some time that he uses polls. There's evidence. If you read news articles close enough, you can see it. But the evidence came out in this case because he had a, I don't know, it's a consulting firm, or I forget what the name of it was, but they did some poll testing, and it turns out when you use the word insurgents, that's not popular. And so they've now dropped insurgents. That was partly Rumsfeld's doing. But Bush no longer talks about insurgents. He didn't use the word at all in these speeches. He's started referring to them as Saddamists and terrorists. Because, you know, about 93% of the insurgency is Iraqis. They are not terrorists. That is, they are not followers of Zaqari. They are not Al-Qaeda in Iraq people. Only about 7% are terrorists by the normal definition. Foreigners and people that side with bin Laden or Al-Qaeda. But what he did test, they tested the word victory, and people love the word victory. So it turns out that in his speeches, he has used the phrase victory 10 times in a 30-minute address. And he used the term victory 4 times in his address last Monday. He used it 11 times in his address on December 7th, and he used it 15 times in his address on November 30th. The first of the four speeches, he said, use the word victory 15 times.
Wow.
Now, he is claiming that the quote is that he uses is usually like this, that we will settle for nothing less than complete victory. Well, a little bit of a problem with that. We are not going to have a complete victory. In fact, Murtha came out and said the war is unwinnable. People got mad at Howard Dean when he came out and said we can't win. It's not that we will lose, that is, that our country will be defeated, but you never defeat an insurgency, or at least not the average insurgency takes 7 to 15 years to beat. So we're going to be gone long before that. And so victory is going to look something like peace with honor in Iraq, that is, a withdrawal under terms that we think we can stomach. Now, hopefully, it'll be a stable Iraq, and Bush says he's not leaving until there is a stable Iraq. But the 2006 elections are next year, and I don't care what George W. Bush says. He will draw down some troops so that the people running for office on the GOP side can point to the fact that we have fewer troops there next year than we do this year. The other thing is the services can't support 150,000, 165,000 in Iraq indefinitely. We just don't have the number of troops for rotations home and giving people rest and all of that stuff. They've been deployed. Some people have been deployed to the Gulf 3 times already. And so there are limits. But Bush is really putting forth two different ideas. And one of them is, we will not leave until victory has been achieved. And the second one is, when people say, when will the troops come up? He's fond of saying, as the Iraqis stand up, we will stand down. Well, those are two different things. In other words, as more and more Iraqis are there to take over to fight the insurgency, we will draw down. That's clear enough, and he's been saying that all along. But that implies that even if the insurgency is not beaten, we'll be leaving. If the Iraqis can handle it themselves, we'll get out. And that makes perfect sense. We went in there to depose Saddam and get the weapons. There are no weapons. Saddam's gone. Once we leave them in a position where they can handle it, then our duty's done. We can't be irresponsible and leave them in a mess. But if they can handle it, we can leave. And that's what he means by, as the Iraqis stand up, we will stand down. But the other part of this is, we will not leave until victory has been achieved, suggests that we won't stand down just because the Iraqis have stood up, that we'll stay until we got this problem licked. So those are really two contradictory statements that Bush or his people have not quite come to grips with yet. And there's reasons for that. You know, for all Bush's talk that he's not leaving till the job is done, in fact, he's got to leave his options open. You'll notice they've never defined what victory is, whether it's the defeat of the terrorists or the insurgents, whether it is, you know, control of X percent of the country, it's getting the bombings down from a few hundred a day around the country to 50 a day. They've never defined what it is. And I don't blame them, because as soon as you define what victory is, then there's a standard. There's milestones. I mean, Congress has been asking for milestones, because the Bush administration all along has been saying, trust us. You know, we went in, and, you know, in something like World War II, people say, Republicans have compared this to World War II at times and said, nobody asked for an exit strategy in World War II. Of course, before 9/11, the common logic was you follow the Colin Powell doctrine before you go to war. And the Powell doctrine says three things. You don't go in unless U.S. strategic interests are at stake, number one. Number two, you go in with overwhelming force and defeat the enemy. And number three, you have an exit strategy. Well, we did not go in with overwhelming force, and we do not have an exit strategy. And at the time, the columnists and the pundits and the Republican leaders said, nobody asked Roosevelt did he have an exit strategy in World War II, as though going into Iraq was the equivalent of taking on the Nazis and the Japanese. It is not the equivalent of that. And so we're there, and there's no definition of what victory is, and there's no particular exit strategy. I mean, he still hasn't issued an exit strategy. To say we will stand down as they stand up is not an exit strategy. It's a platitude. But I don't blame him for not pinning himself down, because he also said in his last speech here, what was the exact quote, that this was in the document, actually, the National Strategy for Victory in Iraq. And it divided it into three tracks for victory, a political track, a security track, and an economic track. And that's right. We've got to deal with the politics, the security issues, and the economics. And, of course, we are not doing a very good job. We're pumping less oil in Iraq than we were when we went in. People have electricity fewer hours a day in Baghdad than they did when we went in. We have not improved the infrastructure yet, and we're supposed to be America the can-do country, and we haven't done it. So Iraqis are like, oh man, nobody's getting this together. So now they're going to try and do it themselves. But the quote in this document is that the objective is to, quote, develop the Iraqis' capacity to wage a campaign to, quote, defeat the terrorists and neutralize the insurgency. Well, it's not clear what it means to defeat the terrorists, and it's not clear what it means to neutralize the insurgency. The principle there is you talk the insurgents into putting down their guns and taking up ballots, hopefully. But it makes sense that he muddies it this way, and that there's this ambiguity in the strategy, because, you know, the Bush administration has already been in hot water multiple times. They first said that the U.S. would be greeted as liberators. Bush said mission accomplished. They had the big banner, mission accomplished, on the aircraft carrier when he flew out there and as a hot dog pilot. And it turns out the mission wasn't quite accomplished. We'd lost 200-some soldiers at that point. We've now lost over 2,000 when he declared the mission accomplished. And Cheney said just last, what was that, in July, he said that it was in June, he said the insurgency was in its last throes. Well, they've been in their last throes, and we've lost hundreds of troops since the last throes started. So they're tired of making those predictions and being wrong. They've been too optimistic, so they're now refusing to do that. And I understand that. That makes sense. But this idea that it's above politics and that they'll only withdraw when we've got an honorable approach, and people have used that phrase, when it's honorable, it reminds me too much of Nixon's Peace with Honor. You know, he ran for president in 1968 saying he would end the war in Vietnam, and he ran again in 72 saying he would end the war in Vietnam. It's remarkable you can do that, but he did. And he eventually, we pulled out, but he kept saying we would have peace with honor and never peace with surrender. And he ultimately signed the same deal he could have had 4 years earlier after he did a lot of bombing. We lost a lot more lives, but he declared that it was peace with honor. And within 2 years, South Vietnam fell. So whenever we leave, we're going to have to trust the Iraqis to deal with their own future. And there is no guarantee that it won't degenerate into a civil war. And we won't have much say about it. I'm not sure we go back in at that point. And I'll just leave you with one more thought about this that I'm not very pleased about. And that is that the plan, like Murtha's plan, I think is what will ultimately follow. We will deploy to the area. We'll get out of Iraq Central and we'll be on the periphery somewhere. And when they have insurgents in a building, they're going to call in airstrikes, and we're going to give them air support once the troops are gone. Otherwise, they can't survive. And so they'll call in and say, hey, we've got insurgents in this building, and we'll try and confirm it, but we will go and we'll bomb that building and kill everybody in it. Now, the danger is the same thing that's happened in Afghanistan, is that we have warlords calling in strikes against people they don't like. And we've had it in Iraq, too. We've had people turn in people to be arrested that they just don't like. They're not insurgents. They're not terrorists. They just knew they could get the Americans to deal with them. So we're bound to run into situations in a few months or a year whenever we pull troops back and they need air support from us, where all we're doing is dropping bombs in Iraq. We will drop bombs on people that then turn out to be innocent. That is, they're not insurgents or terrorists. And it was somebody settling a debt. But do you think the person who wanted the debt settled and asked for the airstrike will be blamed? No, the Iraqi who asked for the airstrike won't be blamed. The U.S. bombs will have U.S. labels on them. It'll be obvious who dropped them. Iraq doesn't have an air force. The U.S. will be blamed. And so I worry about how it proceeds when we provide air cover. So I'm hopeful that things will work out. I hope for the best. I hope that Iraq settles down, the insurgency dies out here, that we can start pulling our troops out and that things get peaceful and that democracy really works. I'm just very, very skeptical that it will actually work out that way. And I still think it remains to be seen, but I think it was a mistake going in, and I think in the long run it'll remain to be a mistake. And that doesn't make me unpatriotic. That makes me a skeptic. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it works out. Democracy breaks out there and breaks out all over the Middle East. Then George Bush will deserve a place in history as a great president. But that is TBA, to be announced.